Monday. A blessed and wonderful Sunday morning to you, and this is the Because He Lives program for the 30th of June 2024. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for yet another day. We thank you, Lord, for even this month where we were going through the family ties, relationships. We went with the children in May. Then we dealt with the fathers. We dealt with the mothers. And now we are dealing with the singles. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will bless and touch every single person within the family unit. All of us have come through some family line. We are a brother, we are a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a niece, a nephew. And I pray, dear God, that you will touch every single person, those who are going through their personal struggles. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that they will find you. You said that you are a refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of storm. And I pray, dear God, that this program would impact persons for you as we discuss singlehood and what can be done for singles in the body of Christ. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that the points made will be a blessing and great insight to all persons. Bless this time in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. This morning in the studio with me, I have some wonderful singles in the Lord, of course. Pastor Shamar Roberts. Good morning. Welcome.
Morning, morning to everyone.
Yes. And Miss Monica.
Good morning.
Yes, she is a wonderful single lady. And today we want to be able to clarify what we mean by singles. Who are we referring to when we speak of singles? We would probably mean unmarried, single by choice, divorce, death of spouse, etc. Yes. And to the panel, is it safe to say that the percentages of adult singles is probably higher than that of married couples in our churches?
Well, yes, it's definite that as we are right now as a church, as a body of Christ, that there are more persons who fall into this category, especially when we start to include those who are married, those who are single by choice. I'm not just looking at divorce, but even those who are widowed, who would have seen their spouse pass. You know, so we have a higher percentage. Therefore, that percentage needs to be addressed. It's something that we definitely have to talk about a lot more. Something we need to be intentionally. I think what happens is that because marriage is a goal, it's seen as something that most of us aspire to. Wherever we're at in life, even for divorced persons sometimes, or persons maybe who would have lost a spouse, you know, it's almost as though we never lose that interest or that spark in being married. You know, the place of marriage or that foundation, that institution is something that we aspire to in such a way that it almost unintentionally excludes those who are single by choice. And it reminds us then to look at even the words of Paul. You know, even if you aren't married, there still is a place, there still is a ministry, there still is very much for you to do to fulfill on this earth as a Christian. Now, okay. Of course, Monica, I have to mention her here at this point because I'm called by her right name, Monica Rock.
Monica Rock, yes.
Miss Rock. she is at our church, the head of our singles ministry, the head of our Sunday school. But this is a key place of interest in her, so I, of course, want to hear her perspective as well.
Yes. What do you think?
Yes, I do believe that that percentage is higher. And I know that Pastor Shamar mentioned those who are divorced. I also tend to look at those who are separated, that they are in between. They are not married, neither are they divorced legally, but they are separated, and that can be a very crucial time.
I like that one. So you will put that in the realm of singlehood, being in between, like a sardine between two pieces of bread?
It says that you are alone.
Okay.
I think that has a great part to play.
And I think you all started to answer the second question. Why do you think that this is so, that we have such a high rate of singles, you know, either by choice or whatever? Why do you think this is so?
Actually, I'd like to submit it's because of choice, you know, because of choice. As a culture in this, you know, 21st century world that we live in, we have so many different choices, much more choices that even generations before us would have had. And in having so much choice, I think sometimes the larger majority get caught up by everything else that they can choose, you know?
Okay.
And it's not to say, you know, those who have lived before us did not have many different choices too. It's just as we are in such a progressive world, you know, our needs are met in so many different ways compared to centuries ago. Mm-hmm. You know, we get comfortable in believing in that freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much that, you know, God wants us to be bogged down that, you know, we don't have a choice. No, it is that the culture that we live in gives us the okay. It gives us, you know, the green light that when something isn't working, we replace it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have sturdy machinery and tools anymore. So we go to the furniture store, we buy something that starts working in 2 years compared to the 10 years it would have lasted us or 20 years before. And that has even permeated into our mindsets, you know, where now we can replace, we can
mash up and buy back,
so to speak, in better terms.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I believe that does play a huge role, especially when we speak about divorce and separation, you know, the freedom of choice. Our world is very individualistic as well.
Right.
So what benefits me, you know, what makes me happy, our happiness above anything else. And, you know, the covenant that God has instituted, which is marriage, is a covenant that isn't supposed to be broken lightly. You know, it isn't supposed to be broken. For some people's mindsets, isn't supposed to be broken at all.
Interesting.
Because the God that we serve is not a God that breaks covenants. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
When we do now start talking about people who are single by choice, it is not as though that decision is sinful. It's not as though that decision to remain single is not led by God as well, you know. So for those who have made that God-led decision to remain single, you know, God has indeed blessed that. Once it's God-led, God has indeed a plan for that, and he's going to guide them towards their purpose as well.
Yeah,
and even these things too are leading to that higher percentage rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Monica, you have anything to add to that?
Yes, I do agree. Pastor mentioned it just now. I think the mentality is a more of an individualistic mentality nowadays, especially the younger ones.
Yeah.
They are more prone to being able to complete their studies, being able to purchase that home, you know, before they settle down, having that job of their dreams, before looking to settle down. And on the flip side of that too, I think that the rate of divorce is a bit higher as well.
Yeah, so, we can't talk more about that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
So that also plays a part there.
There had persons who, which leads into my another question. What is the value of singleness to the kingdom of God? You know, you had the eunuchs that for some reason could not, you know, marry, have children. Then you had the Nazarites who, you know, they put aside themselves just for the purpose of Almighty God and what's not. You know, you had the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, what he said. But, you know, what are the values of having single persons in the kingdom of God? God has a purpose for everybody.
Of course. Just as God has a purpose for marriage, there is a purpose of being single.
Yes.
Singles are, what should I say, they're more readily available because most of them do not have the family ties and commitments. We have other commitments, mind you. We have other commitments because let me put it here that singles have financial commitments.
Of course.
We have other commitments to our brothers and sisters, that part of it.
To our procreating family.
Exactly. So, but being readily available, you know, we don't have to run home. Well, some of us run home to a dog or a cat, but we don't have
But there's no partner there
correct
in my personal
children
space
to help with homework, you know, that kind of stuff. So if there is a meeting at 9 o'clock, who's there? Yes, I'm there.
Yeah,
you know?
Wonderful.
Exactly.
I don't want to say that singles have played a vital role in the life
kingdom
of the church for many years.
That's correct.
For many generations. And as we said before, many active, powerful ministries within all of our churches around Barbados and the world have their merits in the fact that they are single persons who have made themselves available.
Yeah.
Some may have married after, but for the most part, they made themselves available and become the backbones of those ministries.
That's correct.
So that when others come in, the atmosphere is already created and everything, because that person, just like the Apostle Paul said, listen, if you want my way. And you know, Paul was so busy. God had to stop him from going to certain regions. Right? And he was there saying, man, like, I'm not bogged down by having a wife and a family. You don't have those cares. So wherever God want me to go, he's going.
Okay, no.
He was like a boomerang for God. So there is tremendous value in singleness once the person is fully given over to God. But What do you think is needed for churches to engage our singles? The only thing, and I hate to say, every wedding that I used to help do, because you know I first learned to do the sound system at church, and every wedding, man, we can do this for you. I mean, like, you know what I mean? And it was there, like, but why are you pressuring us to get married? I want to know if there's anything valuable that we could start to tell our young singles in church. Because if you want our young people to come back into church, sex, relationships, and everything, that's going to be vital. You know, you get the NYA people, they're going to be at that teenage years, the hormones flying, birds and bees, blah, blah, shit. Are we fully equipping our young persons for singleness and possibly going into relationships?
I think that one of the most important things to realize is that being single is nothing to be ashamed of.
Amen.
Whether it is by choice or whether it's by divorce or whether it's being a widow or widower, it's nothing to be ashamed of. And we need to herald that in our congregation. Just as we herald marriage, you know, it's good to be married. It's not good for man to be alone. We need to also herald singlehood so that persons are able to give of their best, whatever it is, to God, not to be, you know, not to look upon as though, you know, well, she is 53, she's 54, and yet she's not married. No way is that she's unmarried. And wanting to stay away from allowing that person, you know, to minister as they should.
But I really agree with that statement, especially because the culture of the church is always supposed to be countercultural to what's happening in the world.
Should be.
And that being said, within the world, we see where it is also seen that from time a person is without a relationship for a certain amount of time, but something could be wrong with them. Some mental illness, they're probably difficult to deal with, or something strange about them. And in the church, if that's the world perspective, in the church, it got to be the opposite. It has to be the opposite. Just because that person has gone without a relationship for some time, or maybe never has the kind of intimate, erotic relationship that others may have, there's nothing wrong with them because of that, you know? And that culture has to start from now, because a culture takes a world to build. And already, as Monica would have mentioned, we hold it within church that, you know, especially for women sometimes too, once they haven't achieved certain relationship goals by a certain point, they're like, right, you know. The standard isn't so much held for men. For men, I find now the difficulty comes when, especially if they're a virgin. If to be honest, I remember I had a pastor in Trinidad, Pastor Paul Bansi. There was a whole write-up on him in the newspaper because everybody was so fascinated when he turned 40 and he was still a virgin. Still is a virgin. You know, he continues to live that single lifestyle. And there's nothing wrong with him. You know, many a person in Trinidad, I tell you, like, well, something got to be wrong with him. And he's one of the most powerful, he's one of the most powerful ministers, especially youth ministers, I have ever come across. Most impactful. And his name is known throughout Trinidad when it comes to youth ministry, when it comes to this word of God. And I bless God for pastors like him. Because I know from my singleness, I may not be somebody who may continue in singleness much longer, but I know from my singleness that there were certain opportunities afforded to me that I was able to operate in that I would not have been able to accomplish had I been married, had I children, you know?
Exactly.
There you go. There is power in giving yourself fully over to Almighty God. And say, God, you know why I am where I am. He is the God of purpose. And what the older persons, the church mothers and the church fathers that every year that have a marriage in church and they're forcing you to do that, why not pray and say, God, allow Brother Shamar, Brother Darren, Brother Paul, whoever your name is, to live out their purpose in Him. We need to be able to learn the art of discipling persons for Jesus Christ. So that you become a better person, so that if it is God's will that they match up and have a family, they can bring those wonderful qualities in.
As you say, if it is God's will, that's the most important thing.
So stop forcing things onto people. You know, we need to pray more instead of comparing and so where you can let this person that come after you, that younger than you, marry it. God has a path
set for
everyone.
And you're single before you're married. But you live so many years being single.
And sometimes we don't even realize that. Sometimes we may force things on people and things soon after the marriage does not work. Do you see yourself blaming Amanda? I forced these people into a relationship and God probably saying no. Because we are allowing, as what Shamar was saying, we are allowing the world to guide us as opposed to the Holy Spirit. When we become children of God, we are supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. So for each young person that comes into the church, we have a mandate to pray for each and every single soul. God, lead them, direct them. You have a purpose for their lives and help to cultivate that holy living. Living a chaste life. There was a time when living pure for God was a big thing. We are a holiness movement. I remember when he first got baptized in the early to mid 90s. Things about keeping your body pure was important. Holiness before God was important. Keeping your body and your mind pure was sacrosanct. It was a passion.
Correct.
You know, and I think we need to get back there again. Right? Sorry to get on my soapbox there, but it's something that really needs to be done.
It is true.
You know, singles must also include single parents. What can the church do to meet the needs of these single parents, both men and women, and also give them a sense of belonging? Because obviously, you know, you have these single parents out there and they are doing a tremendous job. I must say, but what can we do as the kingdom of God to help them as they continue to raise their children without, you know, the assistance of a partner?
I submit again, most of these questions that surround singleness will come back to our culture as a church. Now, I will change my answer slightly for this one. Yes, we have to change the culture. And I find the people who fall into this category, single parents, it is not so much those who have lost a spouse or those who may be divorced now, but a lot of people who fall into this category, people who had children, what we say, out of wedlock.
Out of wedlock, out of wedlock.
And because of the culture of the church, these people coming into the church would have been difficult because of the perception of them having children out of wedlock. That's been the culture we had to change. And I can say that, and I know everybody who's listening would agree and they know what I'm speaking about. What I find, though, is that that culture has been accepted by the general public, by the world. And the world has not noticed that in many of our churches, especially here in Barbados, that has changed. So people stay away from church when they know they would have had a child out of wedlock, or they find it difficult to go based on a perception that has long since gone. So what I will say to the general public again too is that know that there are churches out there who are willing to welcome you regardless of where you have been or what you have done. It doesn't matter. The message that we preach and teach, you see, this holiness that we talk about is not a holiness that is fostered on our own. It's not something that we gain and then we work to keep. No. It is something that God gives us regardless of what we
do. Our station is,
And as a people, I could tell you of many churches in Barbados where people may hold a particular perception, but when you go, the love that you experience is complete. It is truly the love of God. So people keep in their minds, well, if I go back, you know, this body can say this about me, this body can say that about me. It's not so much that anybody has anything to say. It's just that we are living on the perception of maybe times gone by and not the reality
of the current day
of love that is permeated through church these days.
I think too that how the church can meet the needs of these single parents are to set forth good examples of godly mothers and fathers. I think that is lacking so much. I come from a single parent, so I know the struggles that my mother would have had when there was no father around. She was both mother and father, in inverted commas.
Yes.
And I think if that we who are in the church make ourselves available to these children, or to these single parents, and by extension, their children, it will be better for the church at large.
Yes.
The children, especially, because we know that they are the future church. So, while they are with us at church, checking on them while they are away from us, you know, if decisions are to be made, foster that relationship and that environment that these single parents have someone to lean on. If there is a lack of knowledge pertaining to any decisions, you know, it's right down to anything to the need, the help that they need. Just being there for them.
I remember we had Pastor Cumberbatch, Stan Cumberbatch, at our church, and he took it upon himself to train almost all the youngsters how to drive.
Okay.
He used to take us, you know, collect us and take us to church and bring us back and what's not. You know, he was, we need more persons like that, as you said, that could help. You know, it is so vital. The next question, there are so many of them. Is enough being done to prepare singles for possible marriage? And I think we have touched on it a bit. You know, and I think we need to really emphasize that. And lastly, culture often tells us to follow our hearts and pursue our dreams. But how much of the influence of culture and modern thinking is affecting the singles of our churches and are encouraging them into ungodly living? You know, what can we do about it? You know, we speak often of possible concerns within our possible unmet desires, you know, and the reality. Because let's face it, most of us that are in a single state are lonely, okay? Most of us, I say all, but most of us long one day to find that sweetheart, that darling, that wonderful wife, that wonderful man to complete. You know, you have your sexual desires. You have those passions and those dreams. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love God with all my heart, but I am lonely. Mm-hmm. When the midnight hour comes and that feeling of loneliness grips me, how can we as a church help singles through that period of loneliness? Widows and widowers, when they go through that period of loneliness, you know, sometimes you find like, persons like me know this about God. I come across a few that may like me, but who to pick? Who to choose? But who can I find in the church that will be accountable enough or that I can find trustworthy enough to go to and say, sister, brother, pray for me. This is what I am going through. How can we do to help singles in that area? We got to be realistic and address some of the elephants in the room.
I honestly think, because we talked a lot about the culture, even the culture of the world too, not just the culture of the church. And as the question rightfully says, you know, it tells you about following your hearts, which speaks about being happy, putting your happiness first, the things that you want in life first, yourself first. But when we look at what it means to put Christ first, that sacrifice, you know, that carrying of a cross, we must understand that each individual will have their burden to carry. You know, each individual will have their challenges, the things that they find difficult, the hard points. And it's not for us to think in those moments, one, that we're alone. Is remember that, well, this may very well just be my plight, especially for those who are called to singleness for life. Yeah, this may be my plight. I do, however, believe that when the Bible says, you know, it's not good for a man to be alone, you know, it's not just talking about marriage. It also speaks towards the fullness that we receive of God in His Holy Spirit living within us, but also God extended through man in the form of the body of Christ, of us being a part of that body.
Community.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Come into that. No, community. And too many of us have acquaintance relationships at church. And I'm not saying that you have to have a close personal relationship with every person at church. I'm saying within the body of Christ. And when I say church, I mean the body of Christ, not the actual physical building you go to. When it comes to the body of Christ, accountability and discipleship. Discipleship being somebody who leads, who guides you, and accountability being those who are around you who are after the same goal. We have to be able to rely on these people, knowing that God has the ability to fulfill our needs, fulfill our, it may not come in the way that we want it to or the way that we particularly desire it, but we know that He said there's no need that we have, there's no desire of our heart that He's not willing to fill. Again, it may not come in the way that we want it, it may not come in the way that we perceive it, but He still has the ability to meet the needs that we have, understanding that we are still human, understanding that our flesh and the bodies that we are in are very, very powerful entities when it comes to our decision making sometimes, especially when it comes to our feeling.
Yeah, emotions.
You know? Yeah. But He too has the ability, if we stay on His path, if we stay by His guidance, He has the ability to meet those needs, to see us fulfilled in a greater way than we can see for ourselves. And if I can't believe in that, then anything else I can believe in, then there's no God to believe in.
Amen. Very quickly.
I think mentorship is also a crucial tool.
Discipleship, yes.
Yes, I think because as a mentor and mentee relationship, you're encouraged to bear your soul, you know, in a safe space, non-judgmental, you know, and that's for both mentee and mentor. Mm-hmm. It's important that the mentor don't portray a picture of holier than thou.
Mm.
But, you know, let the mentee know, I've been there where you were.
Show your vulnerability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And show me how you struggled through.
Is that possibly the reason why you started the singles ministry?
Correct. That's so correct. That is so true, Darren. I thought that it was necessary because I think singles need a safe space, you know. Yeah. You know, Pastor Shimmer might have his struggles. I might have his struggles. Mm. But, you know, we are Christians. We're not supposed to be struggling with these things. But hey, he may have a way in which he would have gone through this and what would have helped him.
Mm-hmm.
Get more involved in activities. Go to the movies on your own. Go to driving. You know, when I tell person to go to driving on my own, it's like, by yourself? Yes. I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if there is a safe space, you can start the singles ministry. And I am also saying that the skills that can lead to ministries are also in that group.
Yes.
Yes.
Because it's not only about how we navigate singlehood, but it's also development of your Christian lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it will tend to lead to ministries. And therefore, the church will be better for it.
Very quickly here, the Church of the Nazarene is having their annual quarterly on the 14th of July, 9:30 at the Colomont Church of the Nazarene. We are installing our newly elected district superintendent, Reverend Anderson Kelman. We want to see all persons there. It promises to be a powerful service. This is the Because He Lives program.
Brought to you today by Federal Motor Spares and the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District.
We thank you very much, Pastor Shamar and Sister Monica, for being on today. Because He Lives, we can face tomorrow. And regardless of what condition we find ourselves in, we can trust God in everything and allow Him to rule our lives. Whether single, married, in whatever position we find ourselves in the family, we can trust God to keep us and to sustain us, for He has great things in store for our future. Amen and amen.
Because He
because